Tonight, on American Byroads and Rural Deviancies, we'll interview and talk to a legend among legends in a city nestled on dreams.
I'm getting too old.
He's getting too old.
For all of
the one, the only, the elusive man in brown. Maple Syrup is here with us tonight on the road to Branson, Missouri, America's music city.
There are handy wives and money by.
Let's take that home. You jumped in too soon there. It's all right.
We'll hear secrets that come out of Music City's darkest chambers.
Yeah, that was what I call. I call them the forgotten years. And I had serious substance abuse problems. And I don't want to talk about it a lot, but I will say it had to do with cats.
And we'll witness the reunion of a grand musical team.
Oh, man. I don't know if I'm ready to face him. I'm ashamed for things I did.
All this and the full color of the Branson music scene tonight's American Byroads and Rural Deviancies. And that familiar haunting theme music brings us to another edition of the British Broadcasting Service program, American Byroads and Rural Deviations. I'm your compere, Kip Whitley. Once again, I bravely go where no man of substance and civilization dares to go, across the pond to the fetid, teeming, steaming wonderland that we call the States. The Yanks, as we rightly call them, are cruder, more vital, perhaps more. I say, our first guest today is a legendary Nashville producer. Oh, I should backtrack first. We've gone in our vehicle of conveyance across these strange American highways, made of a substance known as asphalt, through curious sights such as filling stations, superhighways, and an odd building entitled Arby's, in which I sampled some American cuisine. It's not that different from our M1 food, folks. A bit grubby and saucy, but nourishing nonetheless. I find myself in Branson, Missouri, the current head of Music City, the successor to Nashville as the world center for the production and conveyance of American country and Western music. This fascinating hybrid of the hillbilly sound and the blues has stimulated millions of Americans to both record and purchase records such as these that are made every day in these primitive shacks called recording studios. I am in one of these shacks with the legendary Nashville sound producer, Hurl Ruthington. Mr. Ruthington, it's a pleasure to sit at this American microphone with you, sir.
We're always happy to have a line here.
I see you haven't forgotten that charming yet crude epithet. I didn't know anyone actually still used that.
Oh, hell, we ain't as naive and as behind backwards as you folks over here think we are.
Oh, you're just a tad rustic. But, of course, everything that we invent, you adapt. But among the things
that, I beg to differ on that.
Among the more miraculous inventions of your people is the genre called country music, which appears to have sprung wholeheartedly out of Anglo-Saxon oral ballad traditions into a money-making monster.
Oh, hell, you got your $2 words there. What it comes down to is the heart and soul of the American spirit come pouring forth, and we captured it and earned a hell of a lot of money on it, too.
I see. Mr. Ruthington, I noticed that you have a ritual of picking up and moving this cylindrical object to and from your mouth, and it appears to have some sort of liquid in it.
What? Oh, hell, that's good old Budweiser. Budweiser beer. You all have them beers over at Red. Don't you act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Oh, we have our ales and drafts and stouts and porters, but beer. Beer. That's a fascinating word. I must add that to my lexicon.
You must be messing with us.
Beer.
It's beer. Beer.
Beer.
Beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
That the correct pronunciation would be beer.
That's right.
All right.
That's what you use to oil up all the magicians. Musicians. I said magicians.
Well, in a way, sir, they are magicians. It seems that they conjure flights of musical fancy from the air, as it were, through the medium of their primitive electrified instruments.
Oh, hell, they'll hoot and holler for a while, and we get it down on the tracks and make a hell of a lot of money. A lot of money.
I'm particularly interested in learning more about the enigmatic man in brown, maple syrup.
That's maple syrup.
Oh.
Maple syrup, he's a good old fella. I discovered him. No matter, regardless of what you may have heard or what Bill Henley might have told you, I'm supposing you heard from him. And he's a lying son of a bitch. I'll just say it right up front.
What Mr. Ruthington said had a grain of truth in it, for earlier in that day I'd spoken to Bill Henley at his Henley Enterprises office located in Nashville, Tennessee. Mr. Henley, I would like to learn more of the origins of the balladeer known as maple syrup.
Yeah, I discovered him. He's down on the swamp. I was out there snake hunting, you know. And me and my mom and all them was watching around there, and I thought, well, hell, there's a music coming, you know, around there.
Pardon me, Mr. Henley.
Uh-huh.
I noticed that you have some strange items perched on the bridge of your nose. There appear to be circular discs through which I can see your eyes, although they are slightly amplified in size.
Yeah, that's old glasses, you know.
Glasses.
Put on them glasses, see things a little bit more clear, you know.
Oh, spectacles.
Mm-hmm.
Spectacles are called glasses here.
That's right, glasses.
Glasses.
Uh-huh.
Glasses.
Yeah.
I'll remember that, glasses.
I'm always happy to educate the benighted heathens from across the lake.
And vice versa, sir.
We educate one another, I guess, you know.
Anyway, back to the subject of Mr. Syrup. You say that you
That's
were...
That's maple. Maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I discovered him, you know, regardless of what that son of a bitch over here, you know. You know who I'm talking about, I have to tell you. Regardless of what, he's a damn liar. Hmm.
As I said earlier, he regarded you as a damned liar. What do you have to say to that accusation, Mr. Ruthington?
Oh, hell, he could suck on a pig's tit for all I care.
So you're saying that you are the actual discoverer of this entity, this Mr. Syrup?
You could say, in a manner of speaking and literally, that he was birthed from my loins.
Hmm. I wasn't aware that in the States the males were capable of reproduction.
Oh, hell, son, that's just a figure of speech. You know, if you go in the music industry, you'll find that we have our own way of speaking, our lingo, you know. And, maple syrup. He sprung from my loins wholeheartedly and in headedness. And I discovered him. I brought him into the studio, and I told him what I wanted, and damned if he didn't do it. I told him, Maple, what we want is a hit, one that will touch the nation and transform the fabric of what it means to be an American and a human being. And he did it. And that's pretty much what I told him to do. So I guess you could say his successes have been my successes.
That hit that Mr. Syrup conjured in the studio was Get Your Hands Off That Rake, his first, and some would say most popular recording, released in 1971, and rising to a number 3 position on the country and western charts. Legend has it that Mr. Syrup composed this song on a paper bag in the studio.
You know, I told him, I was the one that came up with that idea. He came in and I said, well, Maple, how about a song about a rake? And he said, he thought about it for a while and then he wrote it. So I guess you could say I was a co-writer on that one.
I noticed that your name appears first in the songwriting credits.
That's the standard traditional practice in the music business. The one who thought of it. A co-creator.
Now, I notice on some of Mr. Cyrus' other albums that your name alone appears as a songwriter.
Well, that was one where I would say something like, I think this song should be about a rake, and it should have four or five stanzas and maybe a chorus. So you could see I'd given him both the idea and the structure. And so it only seemed fair that I would be given the credit for the song.
But who indeed wrote the actual words that filled
those? Oh, he tossed some off after I'd given him the idea and the structure.
So you're establishing a precedence of claim based on the structure itself and not the content.
You know, content, we all can speak words, son. You know, we've all got the words. We all speak the English language.
Well, some of us speak a more refined version, but yes, we all do speak variants of the English language.
That's like what I said. You can repeat it all you want. It's what I said. And in a sense, what you just said is what I told you to say. So I could, in some sense, be said to have written what you just said.
I see. I'm going to, as you say, toss another name at you. What does the name Claude Gummons mean to you?
No, I don't discuss him no more.
Earlier that day, I had offered the same clip to Mr. Henley, and his response was just as electrifying.
That son of a bitch owes me money, so until I get it, there should be no forthcoming commentary.
Well, some would argue that the teaming of Gummons and Syrup in the mid-1970s produced some of country music's most acclaimed and transcendent odes to the rougher side of the American existence, such as prostitution, gambling, boozing, and unauthorized railroad riding. Some would argue that the quality of Mr. Cyrus' work has gone down considerably since he and Mr. Gummons had their fiery breakup in 1981. Little did I realize that later that day, I would have an audience with the enigmatic man in brown himself, Mr. Maple Syrup, as I learned he insists upon being called. Mr. Syrup's actual name is Eugene Maple.
Houston.
Oh, dear. Mr. Syrup's actual name is Houston, but he has taken this nomenclature, which I found out later has the origins in the American breakfast. Mr. Syrup.
That's Syrup.
Mr. Syrup. Sorry, it's the...
them damn cigarettes, I'm sorry.
Dear, you fellows across the pond have so many different pronunciations. It's really quite educational.
Well, this one just has one. It's maple syrup.
Well, Mr. Syrup, I've got to say this is the greatest honor of my life.
Well, son, it's my pleasure. I told them when they was asking me if you could come. I said, well, let me see. What has he done? And I heard about that documentary you did on the Mile Wide Singers.
Oh, yes, the Soap on a Rope, the Mile Wide Singers.
And you did it right by him. And I said to him, should I talk to this man? And every one of them, to a man and a woman, told me you were all right. So I said, okay.
Well, sir, I am deeply honored. I have followed your career with great zeal and interest since discovering your first record, the one about the rake. I heard it over and over again as a child, and it led to a lifelong appreciation of your music. And your music has shaped my life throughout my career at Oxford and working with the BBS more than you, a humble man such as yourself in your primitive country, could possibly imagine. I would like to get the maple syrup story from, as you might say, the horse's mouth.
Oh, hell, son. There's not a lot to say. I was just a good old boy in the right place at the right time. And I've seen a lot of things. I've been a lot of places and had my share of fights with the demons, you know.
Those demons would include his songwriting partner, Claude Gummons. Do you care to say any words about your years with Mr. Gummons?
Oh, hell, son. I think my time with Claude speaks for itself in the string of hit records and legends that followed on our trail.
Those I do sincerely believe are your finest accomplishments, the collaborations with Mr. Gummons in the mid-1970s.
Well, we fired each other up, that's a fact. I was the yin to his yang, and vice versa.
Your harmony singing is among the most distinctive in the American genre of the country music style. Do you have any influences? Were you influenced by the Louvin brothers or Bill Monroe and his brother? Or?
Well, Sticky Pete Wilson.
I'm getting Pete Wilson.
And the Holy Brethren, First United Kingdom singers, were a big influence on us. And you couldn't get their records back in the 50s and 60s. So we would we'd get together and thumb rides down, to the colored section. And go see them.
Oh, so you were influenced by the American Negro's work songs.
Uh-huh, them coloreds. The coloreds was real influential. And Sticky Wilson himself, he was educated at Harvard, but had gone on down to Louisiana.
Oh, would this be the Professor Wilson whose volumes on Hellenic law I studied in college?
He was a egghead, that's true, before his music period.
I had no idea, sir. I'm very familiar with his texts.
Well, I'll be damned. I'm surprised you know about it, because what he's mainly known here for is his country gospel records. And that's what moved me and Claude to embark on our trip, because we'd stay up late at night, listening to records. And oh, there's so many great songs. Don't throw away the baby, Mama. And I
love that one.
And I will, Mama, if only you'll give me that drink.
Oh, that's a touching one. That's just a ripping song.
I would cry real tears of sadness and joy when I would listen to it. And of course, the great one he wrote for his mama, I wish I were dreaming, but there you are in your grave, Mama, and nothing will bring you back. So please, Mama, don't leave me, because that would make me sad and cry. And I'm a lonesome boy on this train.
Those are among the most touching sentiments ever contained in one single Nashville Sound recording.
I can't hear it without crying.
Millions of listeners all over the world have shed an ocean of tears over this and other recordings. Mr. Syrup, I don't wish to cut our conversation off, but I must ask, you appear to have something on your head. That's not hair. Is it some sort of an animal, or?
That's a cowboy hat.
Oh, I thought it might be some kind of a bird because of the flaring up on the... A cowboy hat, hey?
Hell, son, are we already done? Is this all you wanted from me?
No, sir.
Because I can play you a couple of songs from the old days,
I would be greatly honored. In fact, I was rather hoping that we could hitch a ride, as you say so colorfully, to one of your Nashville Sound recording sessions and let our listeners, back over the water, experience what it's like to be in the work environment with you.
Oh, hell, tag on along, son. This is going to be my 62nd album, if you don't count the greatest hits and the outtakes and the juvenilia. That's what they call it, juvenilia. I don't know. I'm not...
The early works.
That's psychological for me, and I don't really go down that road, But... So if you count those, then this is going to be the 122nd album that I've done.
Consider them all well and counted, sir. Later that day, I was conveyed by a curious thing titled a limousine to the Big Hit Sound Factory Studio on the corner of 8th and Wilson in the bustling center of Branson. There I entered a quiet, padded room and encountered the strange denizens of this musical sound, this Nashville sound that is in fact no longer found in Nashville. One might call it the Branson sound, for want of a better title.
Hey, Maple, who's the fancy boy you got there with you?
Oh, greetings. My name is Kip Whitley. I'm with the BBS, and I'm doing a show for American Byroads and Rural Deviances.
Well, ain't you something? Why, you ought to be wearing a dress, boy. Go on down and sit down there.
I will, sir.
Well, what we're going to do here today is we got a new number, and Boys and I have worked on it, and we think that this one's going to be a big hit. They're going to eat this up with a spoon. And, well, there's Maple now. Come on in, Maple.
Yeah, you're looking good, Maple.
Good to see you again, sir.
Well, it's little Maple. Come on in,
Maple. Maple, I want you to sit down. I want you to brace yourself for a shock, because I got some news for you.
Okay, I'm right here.
All right.
Boys, and thank you, boys, for the kind welcome. I think we're going to put another good one out today. I got a feeling, and I'm happy to see all of you again. I know we lost Brother Johnson since our last album. It was sad to see him go. He is a good man, and I want to dedicate this next album to him.
I'm with you. I'm with you. I was, I helped carry his casket to the grave, and I miss that boy so much.
Heavy, what did he weigh, 200, 300 pounds?
He was putting on some pounds there towards the end.
I like to broke my back.
We had to sew a V in his trousers just to get him fastened. He liked his food.
He was a good old boy, and he did like his food. He could cook up that venison like nobody's business.
Maple, it seems to me I had something I was going to tell you.
Just let it sit. He'll come back to you.
Oh, hell. It's a big deal. All right. You got yourself braced?
Like as much as humanly possible.
Guess who I got in the green room, Maple? Just take a wild guess.
President Hoover.
He's dead. This is a living person.
President Bush.
He's not dead, but he ain't here either.
President Bill Clinton.
Bill was going to sit in on saxophone, but he had some state policy meeting to attend to. Maple?
President Obama.
President Obama is out helping the folks in Syria right now. He wanted to be here. He's wanted to be on every one of your recording sessions.
That's about all the guesses I've got.
All right. Maple, I've got Claude Gummins in the green room.
Oh, the hell you do.
He's come down here.
The hell you do.
Good heavens, sir. I can't help but butt in, but did I hear you say the name Claude Gummins?
Here, I said the name Claude Gummins. How much clearer can I be?
Oh, yeah. Look at there. Look at there. I don't believe it. How about that? Get on in here, you son of a...
Oh, my goodness.
Well, put it right there, old friend. Put it right there. I didn't think I'd ever see you.
Houston, damn. I'm
kidding. Not in front of the boys, sir. It's Maple. It's going
to
be Maple.
I hate to cry in public, but I can't help it, man. I can't help it.
You're going to make me cry. You're going to make me cry.
Oh, God, Maple, it's good to be back here.
Give me a hug. I can't believe it. That big old bear hug.
What the hell? Oh, I just thought I'd share in the hug.
Who that? This is one of them fancy boys, British fellas. You know, he did the Mile Wide Singer.
I saw that. You did right by them boys.
He did all right.
Thank you, sir. I my name's Kip Whitley. I'm with the BBS, and
you can take your arms off of us, son. I believe this here says here hug is done. Done and finished.
Yes, I rather forgot I had the old conveyances attached. Well. I predict that today we shall see magic.
I got that feeling, too.
We shall hear magic in this...
I tell you what, I got up this morning, and I walked into the kitchen, you know, and I had that old cigarette hanging off my lip, you know, and smell that old coffee going and heard it bubbling, and I said to myself, Maple, you know, I call myself by my stage name, even when I'm alone. I said, Maple, this is going to be the day that we make country music history. And then I heard myself, and I said back to myself, you know, we need to improve the sound quality of this recording studio.
They still ain't fixed that window.
If we could just...
That window was busted when we did our last number one, get off that truck and into my bedroom.
And well, we had the truck sounds outside, so that helped.
Maybe that'll bring some of the old magic back.
Well, maybe so.
Maybe it will.
I've had quite enough of these songs that are all... They're all plasticized and enclosed in rooms that have nothing to do with the big wide world, you know.
Well, Maple, if I may, I'd like to put a song on the table that I wrote with you in mind.
All right. Well, let me just say one thing right here. Fellas, I want all of you to feel free to light up at any time. This is a smoke okay zone. Smoke okay zone. And we got some coffee brewing over here. And I got a bar set up over there. So, fellas, I want you to be comfortable. We're going to do something. We're going to live like men and play music like men.
Hell yeah.
Red, we're back.
We're back, baby.
Okay, then.
Suddenly the room became engulfed in a sort of fog of nicotine haze that made it almost impenetrable and uninhabitable. But as Mr. Gummins got his guitar out of its casing and started a new song,
I saw magic. Just walk that right along with me. Just jump on when you think you can.
Yeah. Hang on just a minute. Let me get this.
Oh, it's Sister Sue. Look at there.
Yeah. There she is, boys. Peter and Weiss.
Oh, that baby. That son of a bitch has been through hell and back.
She has.
And further on. Further away than hell. And come back to tell the tale.
If this thing could tell a storm, man.
Oh, we'd both be in jail.
It'd be gone with the wind, we'd both be in jail. We'd both be in jail.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let me just throw this chorus on you, man. This is a song I wrote.
It's good to have you back,
Claude. It's good to be back, man. All right.
I feel like a young man again, like I was 25. Now, I wouldn't want to be 25 years old.
Oh, hell. Well, I'd like to be 25 from the waist down.
There you go.
And my current age from the waist up.
You'd look strange, but it would feel good.
It'd feel really good. All right. There are handy wives and money by the door.
Oh, yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Your services are needed anymore.
That sounded pretty good.
Well, it was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Now I think you gotta scram. They're all handy wives and money by the door.
I think that's going to work. I believe it is. And I saw a part for me in there. And you know, damned if I didn't see a part for the Mile Wide Singers in there.
Old boys, are they still around?
They're still out there. Oh, yeah. I know where to get them.
We better call for them because they're the I got to have them boys in the studio with me. I'd feel naked as a jaybird without them boys. They fill the room so good.
God damn it, Claude. I think we're going to make an old-time record here.
I think we are. I think we're going to bring the Nashville sound right here to this room in Branson.
This is where it's born and raised.
Mm-hmm. You can take the Nashville out of the sound, but you can't take the sound out of Nashville, man.
God damn it. You're right. You're right.
And indeed, they were rather correct, for later that evening, as the Mile Wide Singers crowded into the studio, their number almost unimaginable, and the musicians got their instruments out and went through their expertly rehearsed parts, I found myself witness to the beauty of the American spirit.
There are handy wives and money by the...
Let's take that at home. You jumped in too soon there. It's all right. Don't. All right. Here we go.
There are handy wives and money by the door. Your services aren't needed anymore. It was wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. No, I think you'd better scram. They're all handy wives, money by the door. Well, it's said that kings and kingdoms rise and fall. One day you're on the top and next day you crawl. Selling love is quite a trade. Bet you think you got it made. But in the end you know the writing's on the wall.
It's on the wall.
There are handy wives and money by the door. Your services aren't needed anymore. It was a whim, bam, thank you, ma'am. Now I think you
you better scram. There are handy wives and money by the door.
Empty days and helpless nights are all you know.
They're all you know.
Making love with men like me must bore you so.
Must bore you so.
Every night is all the same. There ain't no one you can blame. Take your money, honey, go to your next call.
Well, there are handy wives and money by the door.
Your services aren't needed anymore. It was a
wham bam, thank you, ma'am.
Now I think you'd better scram. There are
handy wives and money by the door.
That's coming up. Needless to say, I was speechless. I can't believe what's matter with you, boy?
Just
out with
calm
it.
Calm down, old fella.
I can't.
It's all right. It's all right.
Someone please strike me on the back. There you go, boy.
That's all. you need a shot of some Jack Daniels.
Looks like our little, song got him, man.
Yes, you got it. You still got it, Claude. You got that stuff flowing in your blood.
Hell, brother, Maple, you were born with it. Houston, I know you don't like people call you that, man, but Houston, you were born with the soul of country in your veins.
Thank you, brother. You know, I feel it. Come over here for a hug. I can't believe. Oh, there's that old fancy bogey.
I couldn't restrain myself from joining in this embrace of celebration. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for the music you've created over the years. One doesn't generally tend to make a public spectacle of oneself emotionally.
Oh,
but
hell, it's okay, boy.
Your words and your flowing melodies have moved me so. This is the first time I've cried since I was 7.
Oh, hell. We're happy to do it. We're happy to have you here, son. Happy you're in on a special moment, a moment of creation.
And indeed it was. Perhaps the universe was created in 7 days. But it didn't take a god or a week to make magic happen in this room in Music City.
Hell, boys, you know what? I'm feeling so good. I want to do that old one that made us all so rich.
Oh, that one was a hell of a one. You know, you might want to write this down for your show, son. This one was, man, it was banned on so many radio stations.
That's because it spoke the truth.
And we sold more records per cubic ton on this one than any ones that were okay with people.
We won the cubic ton award that year.
We did. Didn't we increase the land mass of the earth with all the records of this?
That's what they told me. That's what they reported.
We made the world a heavier place on this one.
But it tells the truth. It speaks the truth, and it still means a lot to me. I don't think any song I ever wrote means more to me.
The song they were referring to has a title I cannot completely say over the air, but...
Well, when you sing it, you can go ahead and say it. That was ruled by the Supreme Court.
Yes, sir. I was actually narrating for the show. I like to sort of edit in recorder, so...
You were just talking off into the air, son.
I was addressing my listeners.
It's like you'd gone funny.
As you see, such candid conversations are rife in the rooms of Branson.
Do you know what he's talking about?
I don't know what the hell. I can't even understand it.
He's kind of fancy.
Yeah, I hear you over there discussing my dress and my apparel. It is, yes, indeed, rather fancy, but a man must dress the part of a man.
Well, I'd consider me put in my place. Hell, boy, let's sing. Let's sing.
Yeah, man, I got a tear in my eye. I think this song means more to me than...
It can't mean more to you than it does to me. Give me a chord there so I can get started.
Okay. Let's get give it. Let's how about it? Let's do a G.
Take her down a little bit. That's a little high for me.
See?
Well, I'm... Hold on just a second.
Sure.
Well, I'm getting too old.
Oh, take it from the top. I think we got your key.
Well, I'm getting... Hold off just a second.
All right.
Well, I'm getting too old for all of this shit. Yes, I'm getting too old to put up with it. Well, a man must be patient. I'm the first to admit. But I'm getting too old for all of this shit. Try it with a guitar. Well, I'm getting too old.
He's getting too old
for all of this shit.
For all of this shit.
Yes, I'm getting too old.
Da-dup, da-dup, da-dup,
to put up with it. Well, a man must be patient.
A man must be patient.
I'm the first to admit.
He's the first to admit.
But I'm getting too old.
He's getting too old.
For all of this shit.
For all of this shit.
I'm getting too old.
He's getting too old.
For all of this shit.
For all of this shit.
Yes, I'm getting too old.
He's getting too old.
To put up with it.
To put up with it.
Well, a man must be patient.
A man must be patient.
I'm the first to admit.
He's the first to admit.
But I'm getting too old.
I'm getting too old for all. For all of this shit.
Well, he's getting too old.
He's getting too old.
For all of this shit.
For all of this shit.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2, 2, 3, 4. Soap, soap, soap on a rope, rope, rope on a. No. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Soap, soap, soap on a.
Okay.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Soap, soap, soap on a rope, rope, rope on a rope. Soap, soap, soap.
This may be harder than you thought.
All right, it's ridiculous. Yes, it is. That's fine. Okay, okay, here we go, for real. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Soap, 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 soap on a rope, 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 rope on a rope.
Wash me clean.
Wash me clean and see, and see on a
boom. Very nice. That's